This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I always said that time is our best friend in situations like this. And, you know, this is too recent. Tristan got hurt Saturday, you know, and we got some capable players. Romy's having a good season. Toro, you saw him yesterday. He put some good at bat. So I'm not saying we'll never have that conversation, but I think for now where we at, I like Rafi as a DH. I like him as my DH. You take away the first weekend of the season, he's been one of the best hitters in the big leagues, and he's doing an outstanding job.
So you're saying there's a chance. Alex Cora here just moments ago, Fenway Park with WEEI Afternoons, talking about his baseball team and the subject that most people within Red Sox Nation are talking about these days, Tristan Casas' season-ending knee injury and what they're going to do at first base. And it's not Devers right now, but time is on their side. And something we were just talking about during the break here, a big reason time is on their side is because they are 2.5 games out. They're 18 and 19, which in some divisions wouldn't be good enough. In this division, you are in second place and you're only 2.5 games behind the leading Yankees.
You've already got people associated with WEEI, like our friends over at the Play Tessie podcast, Boston Sports Gordo, reprinting Alex's quote. I'm not saying we'll never have that conversation. His analysis, Progress, said he doesn't want to just throw something else at Devers while he gets used to DHing. In my opinion, though, the sooner the better. And I think that opinion represents most opinions in Red Sox Nation right now.
And he also threw out there, if Romy Gonzalez keeps hitting 350, then it might be Romy Gonzalez the whole year, and we're a more athletic team, we're a faster team on the base paths and do things differently. We'll see. Or maybe Abraham Toro and Romy Gonzalez are stopgap measures, and maybe you have to make a move outside the team or within the team, and that's when you go Devers. So there's a lot of possibilities, but I thought that was an interesting interview with the manager. I thought he was more forthcoming than the simple no's that we got yesterday. No. He talked, most importantly, I think, for a lot of people, because Fitzy, you, I, and everyone else have been playing Breslow off Cora. Oh, Breslow said this, but Cora said this. Breslow sound open to it. Cora's
there must be something going on awkward, like the way we used to think that Cora and Bloom didn't get along. Nope.
Instead, he offered up, we have great conversations. Not everybody needs to know what our conversations are about, but we have great conversations. And I actually thought about it in a weird way, kind of like our show. When we start banging out the emails and the text chains, which is weird because we usually have both going simultaneously, and we're all
one day we'll pick one.
Right. But we're all throwing ideas out there. Doesn't mean it'll definitely be in the show, not in the show. Dumb idea.
And don't take it personally.
Don't take it personally. It might be in tomorrow's show if it's not in today's show. So if I had one big takeaway from that interview, if you believe him, and you can choose not to, because I know there are a lot of Alex Cora critics out there. If you believe Alex Cora, he has a good working relationship with Craig Breslow, and they'll work their way through this like they will everything else.
Your bullet point takeaways, and again, we'll replay portions of the interview throughout the course of the show, but if you missed it, A, use the Odyssey app, or B, just settle in for a nice afternoon of WEEI Afternoons, and 5 o'clock, we will replay it. My bigger takeaways as well, Andy, might want to get a Romy Gonzalez jersey. No, I got several, actually. Romy Gonzalez sounds like he is the front runner or leader to win the first base job.
His job
right now,
to lose.
So kind of maybe get used to that as well. And like you said, it's basically time's on our side. Translation, the Yankees are not doing anything to drape themselves in glory right now. So the Sox are extremely fortunate.
I don't know how that's going to play, though. There's going to be people that are to say it shouldn't matter what the standings are. That shouldn't matter. It's about today. Let's get this team better today. And so when he basically alluded by saying what you just mentioned there, Fitzy, and Just the fact that they have time. Time is on their side is kind of is what he said. And he's basically referencing the standings. So he's telling you, well, because we're only 2.5 games out, we have more time to figure this out and not rush to make a hasty decision. Some people will say, yeah, that makes sense. And some people are going to say that shouldn't matter at all.
I will tell you, he ignited reaction among our listeners. 617-779-7937. Please call, but you're going to get a busy signal until I open up a line because they are loaded reacting to Alex Cora, his comments on Rafi Devers and the rest of the team. So let's go to Dan in New York for a comment on the Devers situation. What's up, Dan?
Yeah, you just said it. You just heard it at the beginning of the when you put it on the show. He just said that, you know, aside from the first week of the season, he's been one of the best players in the game. That's definitely not true. Aaron Judge is a great player in the game. He has 11 home runs. Devers has 5 home runs and is hitting .250. That's definitely not one of the best players in the game. I did not like that comment at all.
All right, thanks for the call, Dan.
All right,
you do
Dan.
Realize he went 0 for his first 20?
Yeah.
That's how you end up
with it was the strikeout every other at bat as well.
Oh, it was must-watch TV.
Sadly, it was.
A couple weeks.
I mean, we were actually all sort of like having a laugh about it, but it got more uncomfortable by the game. I would also like to reference, Andy, that not only are our phones full right now reacting to Alex Cora, he's trending post our interview. And
let's go.
Bradfoe, yay baseball, also just put up Alex Cora said about Rafi Devers. I'm not sure we'll have that conversation. To throw something at him would be unfair. I hope Alex doesn't check Bradfoe's comments.
Not good?
Not great, Bob.
Well, I could push back on it.
They're a little mad right now.
There's going to be people that aren't going to like his comments. I mean, I think there's people that feel, again, that they're operating with a lack of, urgency. And his comments, I think, only would fuel the fire to the people that think that.
And Ted, here's one comment right here in response to Bradfoe's tweet of our conversation with Alex Cora. Mike Zappala, he makes $30 million a year. He's an adult, not a kid playing T-ball. Why can't you ask him?
No, but he's also playing a sport that is, you know, you got to be in the right mindset, but also it's a like everyone says, hitting a baseball is the toughest thing to do. And if you're effed up, you said, Ted, I don't know if it was on the air or off the air. I hope you don't get mad. But like some players can just go to the sport and leave everything else out there.
Yes.
Some players.
Compartmentalizing.
Yeah. And you said you weren't great at that.
Nope.
If you had issues going on,
yep.
They kind of well, if you feel like Devers is starting to hit like you want Devers to hit, like a $30 million hitter, to now, if he's not comfortable, just sort of pull the carpet out from him and ask him to start over? Like, I've been critical of him, but I also get the logic.
I do, too. I do, too. And people say, you know, Alex, a lot of heat. A lot of heat on Alex Cora. A lot of heat, just by how the season's gone so far. People, I think to some degree have to trust that the manager knows, people say, well, his job is to get him to want to play first. Like, you know, your job is to know what the reaction will be if you force the issue, right? If you push him to do something he's not comfortable with, you might get a reaction that does nobody good.
And
right?
They pay him to know how to do that. They pay him a lot of money.
Right.
$7 million a year to know which buttons to push or not push, to be productive, not counterproductive in his actions. 617-779-7937. Tony in Bridgewater, what were your reactions to our little chat with Alex Cora, Tony?
I gotta tell you something right now. I like Cora, but he was blowing smoke so much up you guys' butt. This to listen to this stuff, you got to be a moron. He's talking about Casas was supposed to hit 30. Who thought Casas was going to hit 35 home runs? They didn't have a backup plan. It's so friggin' ridiculous. They should have got rid of that. I feel bad for the guy, but I never liked Casas. So overrated. He gave him the finger 2 years ago when they offered him some money. Okay? I don't feel bad. I feel bad for the people watching this thing because no backup plan for a guy who sucked the last his whole career he sucked.
Thanks for the call, Tony. I'm not sure what the contract has to do with. He made a decision. He could accept an early contract or bet on himself and say, I'm going to make a lot more money down. So Christian Campbell said, I want the money. That's okay. It's also okay for a guy to bet on himself and think, I'm going to make $400 million.
Mookie Betts did.
Right.
Yep.
Like
Brian Bayo didn't. So there's examples
Joe
on
Flacco
both sides.
Did. I cross sports.
What does that have to do with the rest of the situation? I see nothing. Now, Tony's comment that I agree with is thinking you didn't need a plan B for Tristan Casas was a problem. Oh, we talked about it yesterday, having a depth chart, having somebody next in line.
If you looked at the depth chart to start the season, it was, I mean, I remember using the term, it is a embarrassment of riches when it comes to depth, when it comes to at least the middle infield and the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
But the two positions that you could argue had the least amount of depth was catcher and first base, and both of them have been affected by injuries to start the season, and neither really option. I mean, they had Narvaez was there at camp, and Sable was there at camp, but first base, it didn't even occur to me to look at the first base depth because of how much they were pumping up, you know, Casas. And here's the guy that you need to have depth with, and it doesn't seem like they're ready for it.
I mean, a guy like who would ever think that, you know, running to first base and tripping on somebody's foot, Casas would endure one of the worst knee injuries you possibly can, number one.
Game, man.
And number two, your team looks loaded, like it has a bunch of different guys, like Campbell, who he shut down, Devers, et cetera. And to go with somebody who's like kind of offensively anemic.
Like if the third base, shortstop, or second base, or center field had something happen to him like happened to Casas, would there be this many issues figuring out who would fill in their spot? No.
There'd be none.
Not even close.
There would be none at all. And Fitzy, it's not just the freak injury of he tears his patella tendon.
Right.
We also need to remember before Saturday, we were having the conversations about when does Casas get pulled because he's not that good. He had been bumped down
at least twice.
Fifth, sixth, seventh, not or whatever third. It was over the course of the season.
He was batting below his weight.
So at some point, this was going to be a conversation. It was probably going to be closer to June 1st or Memorial Day or somewhere in that time frame. It got expedited. But you're right, Ted. Both. And Narvaez, if you remember, we had Ian Brown from MLB Network on, and we were talking about backup catcher or something, and he didn't really even know how to pronounce his name. He's like, this is the guy it's going to be, but I'm still kind of learning him. So those two positions, and isn't that like Murphy's Law?
Of course.
Like, we got plenty of depth all these places, and those guys are all healthy. We don't have depth here and here, and some bitch.
It's got off to us. You have the schedule you have, you know, one of the easiest schedules in Major League.
Yeah.
And your record is what it is. I mean, Alex's counter to that was, but when we played those crappy teams, we were playing their best pitcher. Mm-hmm. And so that impacted it. So there's just a lot of things that have kind of gone wrong to start this season.
And some of it is just the team they're playing again tonight at Fenway Park, the Rangers. They were terrible in Texas to open the season, and you're 1-4 against the Rangers overall. If you're not 1-4 against the Rangers, everything looks different. You might be in first place.
What's the major change that they've really kind of made with this mediocre start? It feels like maybe moving Tristan up the depth chart. Okay, up the batting order.
Oh, yeah, that's been nothing dramatic.
Nothing dramatic. Look, go conversely. Look what the Texas Rangers have done. They have almost the exact same record that the Red Sox do. They're 18-18. They've played one less game.
Yeah.
They fired the hitting coach.
Yep.
And you could argue that the hitting for the Red Sox is worse than the hitting for the Rangers, and it's still status quo. Like, to me, there's going to be a time here pretty soon where it's something like that, a decision like that, that's going to need to be taken to shake up things. And you saw how the Rangers hit last night. So the new hitting coach is working out pretty good.
10 hits in 3 2/3 inning. Giolito, we will give a pass to as well. They need a big start out of Houck tonight. Let's shoot.
He just gave you a big start, and you blew it.
You need another
Your
big
guys. Run out.
I know they did. And did you hear also when I asked him about that? At least I asked him about my guys taking ownership that I like Slayton and love Whitlock. And he accused. He said they both are leaving junk up when they get two strikes. You can't hang cheese when you're up 0-2, 1-2. Like, those have to be out pitches. He said you need high heat or you need it down in the dirt. They're not dirting the ball. They're getting too clever. So
Is
maybe everyone overthinking things a bit, like a measure too much on the Red Sox? Like, internally, not us.
No, I don't think so.
Why are these guys throwing strikes when they're up 0-2 and 1-2?
I mean, I think they're missing
spots.
Why
are they?
Yeah, they're missing terribly.
They're missing spots, but that's part of baseball too. And also, you know, as good as you think they are. Slayton is not Aroldis Chapman. He hasn't been doing this for 15 years where you're like,
he just got off to a good start. And these expectations were that he's going to be this
way. Right. Like, that's not really fair to extrapolate on that and say that's a full 162.
He was a huge question mark going into spring training.
Right. And he may come back around, and maybe the good stuff is more likely over the course of a full 162. But I don't think you penciled him in to be lights out wire to wire this year. And the other thing is, I keep saying it, I think if they all got bumped down a role, you know, I'm not going to say the name that everybody knows I want them to acquire, but if everybody got bumped down a role, this bullpen could be dominant. And it might be the thing that I would say, hang your hat on your bullpen. But as Alex Cora said, you should have a good bullpen. Even bad teams have good bullpens. If you get to the good bullpen, that's going to make offense tough for the other team. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Danny in the car. What's up, Danny?
I think Casas certainly is a 30-plus home run hitter, whether with the Sox or...
It is an unfortunate injury. I'm not sure I agree with Danny that we know that Casas is a 30 home run major leaguer. First of all, we throw numbers around a lot.
One half season a couple years ago.
I don't even know how many batters total hit. Let's hit 30 home runs each of the last 3 years. Because to me, if you're a 30 home run guy, you don't do it once. It means on average over a span of 3 to 4 to 5 years, you average 30 home runs every year. I'm not willing to say Tristan Casas with that. And that's why the one thing I keep pushing back on is, okay, Romy Gonzalez, he's not good enough to be the first baseman for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, says who, though?
And the last first baseman wasn't good. You're not replacing a good first baseman.
Right.
You're replacing a first baseman people wanted replaced.
And here's the thing. You're going to say, okay, you're going to give up power with Romy Gonzalez in there? Okay, but there's some things you gain.
Right.
Probably better defense and more athleticism at first base now.
Mm-hmm. And on the base paths. I mean, when Tristan
Casas, get on base.
Tristan Casas, when he was on base, was the way I played Parcheesi. You make that wall and don't let anybody pass. It's like, oh my
God. Big outboard boat.
He's just lumbers.
He's the Prius in the high-speed lane doing 58.
That's what it is.
And it's always a Prius.
It's a big Prius.
But when his bat is on, he's got power. So, Romy doesn't have that same thing. So you're giving up something, but you're also getting something as well.
What is the percentage of what Alex Cora just said to us here? What is your percentage of faith that Romy Gonzalez keeps playing so well that we stop having conversations and just say Romy Gonzalez is the starting first baseman of the Boston Red Sox in May, June, July?
It's hard for me to go out on a limb and
untrue. I don't think it happens.
I think it's a low percent. I think it could happen.
Yeah, I think 15%. I'll put it that way.
I think it's
out of the question.
Like this happens.
I think he's more. I think he can be serviceable and buy you time until you ultimately figure it out.
Right, and it happens. Like obviously, a lot of our knowledge background is football related. Like sometimes Bill Belichick got lucky, and something that he thought was going to work didn't.
I can give you a million examples.
Well, I'll give you my favorite example.
I imagine
a million.
When Lawyer Malloy was cut. I believe that's the time. Antoine Smith started against the Bills. They thought Antoine Harris, was going to be the next safety. He was terrible. Putrid. They took Eugene Wilson, who was supposed to be the corner, moved him to safety, and he ended up having like 4 really good years at safety. Mm-hmm. He became one of the better free safeties in football and a good player in the back end of that defense. That wasn't the plan. The plan didn't work. Then they went to plan B, and plan B happened to be a better plan than plan A. Yeah. So what plan B is, because you guys are all assuming Romy Gonzalez, if it's plan A, that's not a long-term plan. That's a duct tape. And
I would bet against it.
And I'm not ruling out
WD-40. Devers. I think it's going to be Devers. I am more confident today. I wanted Devers. You guys know that my plan is very simple. Yeah. Take the third baseman, move him to first, teach him first. He's athletic enough. I am more optimistic that that's going to end up being the plan today because of what Alex Cora said and the way he said it than I was when this show started.
You might be right. It just real quick, Fitz, it is interesting, though, to hear how Alex describes the transition from third to first. It ain't easy, as easy as we all think it is, or maybe how if you listen to Lou Morlone and Kevin Millar last night say, basically, you know, you just – It's the easiest position to transition into. So a lot of Major League Baseball players are saying one thing. Alex says it a different way. And so you're like, that's hard to square that up.
To that point, Ted, actually, yes and on that, would be that Cora said, hey, you know, on every play, the three people that kind of have to always be involved and focus, pitcher, catcher, and first baseman. That made me think for a
focus
second.
Focus part?
Yes.
Yeah.
That made me think for a second. Is Devers going to be over there like – you know, looking at flies or looking at people in the outfield and
little
like,
leaguer
is there like a little league focus fact? Honest to God,
butterfly
that could, I mean
grasshopper
that could be like a legitimate. Oh yeah, Oh, hot dogs, popcorn. I'd love some. Raffy, focus.
The word focus. I thought for a sentence he was going to say, those guys are involved in every play, and then he said focus.
That's weird. I don't know. I feel you better be ready for a third base and be focused, or else you're getting one right.
You get killed.
You get killed.
Absolutely. So.